This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. It's Anything Goes Friday. The Senate has just adjourned. The Democrats were going to try to keep it open throughout the weekend so that they could, I don't know, either make a statement or perhaps even try to bring up the legislation that passed the House, which is the exact same identical bill that passed the Senate on December 19th that would have reopened the government and given Donald Trump $1.6 trillion for his damn wall. But it wasn't enough, right? And so Mitch McConnell said, no, we're not going to hold a vote on that. He's been saying it all week. We're not going to hold a vote on that because Donald Trump will veto it. Well, the simple reality is if Donald Trump vetoed it, there are more than enough votes in the Senate. This passed unanimously on December 19th. Now, even assuming that a number of these Republican senators are going to say, oh, no, I'm going to stand with Donald Trump now, you know, times are different, there's still 66 votes in the Senate to override a veto. Particularly when you consider 22 senators, Republican senators, looking at re-election in a little over a year and a half. And so you got that. And then in the House of Representatives, they just passed a piece of legislation that says that federal employees who got screwed, who didn't get their paychecks, will be made whole. That's not going to help the contractors. And it's not going to help people who now their entire budget has been all just blown up because they've got, you know, fees and penalties and all kind of, they bounced checks. I mean, whatever it may be, you know, suddenly they're behind, particularly people like the TSA workers who are pretty much at the bottom of the federal pay scale, who are, you know, in many cases living hand to mouth. In fact, Miami Airport has just announced that Saturday, from noon Saturday until as I recall, 6 a.m. Sunday morning, and then from noon or 1 p.m. Sunday until the same time Monday morning, they're shutting down Terminal G in the Miami Airport. That's the terminal that is used mostly by United Airlines. So it's starting to bite. And they're doing this because in Miami, the TSA workers are calling in at almost twice the national rate, calling in sick, when in fact probably what they're doing is they're taking part-time jobs. They're getting gigs as Uber drivers or task rabbits or whatever it may be, or finding something in the newspaper, some way to get actual cash to make it through. And I, you know, on this program on Tuesday, I think it was, I suggested that if there were any TSA employees listening, and I know that typically there are, because every time I go through an airport, not every time, but probably every other time I go through an airport, at least one TSA person recognizes me, typically after they see my name on on my ID. So if you're listening, TSA folks, and it's always nice to say hi to you in line, but if you're listening, the leverage that you have, the leverage that TSA has that will drive Trump and the Republicans nuts is the pre-line, the pre-check line. The pre-check line, many just regular coach frequent flyers qualify. In fact, probably the majority of people who are pre are just very, very frequent flyers. And pre is now selling this. I think it's $75 for 5 years or something like that to get pre-check. But also, if you get a first-class ticket on any airline, you are pretty much automatically in pre. I mean, the airlines do that for you. And so if you shut down the pre-check lines, you're going to be hitting the members of Congress going home, which they're doing today. You're going to be hitting the lobbyists going home. You're going to be hitting the big money people who are flying around, the ones who have enough money, but they can't quite afford a private jet. You're not going to get the CEOs, but you're going to get everybody else, and you're going to create some serious disruption. Well, disruption is the wrong word. I'm not advocating disrupting our air traffic control system, but shall we say it would draw some attention. Because I know a lot of people who have pre, I'm one of them, don't show up at the airport 2 hours in advance because they know that it's going to take them 10 minutes to get through the line. So, they show up 30 minutes in advance, go through the lines, stop at the bathroom, and go right to the gate and get on the plane. I mean, that's about it, right? All of a sudden, now they're thrown in a line that's an hour and a half long. Things are going to change. So, just an idea. Anyhow, Anything Goes Friday. Matt in Napa, California. Hey, Matt, thanks for listening to AM910. What's up?
Hey, Tom. I just wanted to talk about a story that came out a few months ago, which was RFK Jr. coming out saying that he was in favor of reopening the assassination of his father.
Yes, and the investigation.
Some quick background points. points on why he probably said that was that, you know, Sirhan was, by all witness accounts, in front of RFK as, when he was assassinated. And the coroner, the L.A. County coroner, Thomas Noguchi, pretty famous, well-respected coroner, his report showed that three shots that hit Kennedy were actually from behind and went very close range, one right behind his ear, which, right, you know, makes it pretty unlikely that they were fired by Sirhan. The district attorney moved to have Noguchi fire. Actually, they asked Noguchi first if he would just please, you know, not release the report, and he said, no, I'm not willing to do that. He was fired, and then he was later, you know, appealed that case and was rehired. And then the other, one of the other significant points, and people that were old enough at the time to remember this, I was about eight, so I do remember the famous lady with the polka dot dress who encountered a woman and a man on the fire escape in the back that said, hey, we shot him, we shot him. And she, Sandra Saunders was her name, the Kennedy worker who witnessed this. And right. Shot Kennedy. Anyway, there's an interview with her. I will give the L.A. County Police credit. They claimed they didn't want to a repeat of the JFK assassination, so they taped everything, and there's this tape recording of Hank Hernandez of the L.A. County Police Department interrogating this woman, basically, and breaking her down. You can listen to this online. It's pretty incredible what he has to say. So she did eventually say, well, I'll tell them, you know, whatever you want to say. So, you know, the significance there is that really seemed to show an actual attempt to have this thing right. covered up.
This was also a mob-owned and mob-run hotel, and the mob, of course, is who took out Jack. And because Bobby had, I mean, we had gone from, I think, the maximum number of prosecutions of organized crime that the federal government had ever involved itself in was either 13 or 18, and that was as of 1960. 1961, Jack Kennedy comes into office, and in that first year, over 700 prosecutions of organized crime figures, you know, most notably Carlos Marcello and Sandro Trafficante, the guys who actually conspired to kill Jack. So, you know, I've long been of the opinion that the mob also killed Bobby, and that I believe the security guy that was behind him that they think might have shot him was also involved with one of the unions that was mobbed up at the time. Am I recalling that correctly, Matt?
I'm not. I don't know that detail. You could be correct. I'm not up on that. But one other point is that none of this ever appeared in front of the jury. They never had any of the details.
The Sirhan jury. Yeah. So, yeah. No, I agree with Bobby. I think it's time to reopen all of this stuff. The CIA is still sitting on a million pages of notes that have to do with the assassination of Jack Kennedy. And you know, there's still some of us around who are old enough to remember this, and we'd like to know what the hell happened. And I suspect there's a lot of young people who'd also like to know. You know, the president of the United States assassinated. You've got the guy who was going to be the next president of the United States. There was no doubt in anybody's mind. If Bobby won the Democratic primary and he was going to win it, he was going to be the next president. And he was taken out. And this is a very, very important and consequential moment in the history of the United States. Matt, thanks for the call, and thanks for pointing all that out. Michael in Long Beach, New York. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Tom? First time, long time?
Thank you. Back at you. Or thank you for calling. Sorry.
And I knew what you meant. I know this may seem trivial, but I can't help but think this. But to add to Trump's sociopath personality is that he doesn't have any pets whatsoever.
Yeah, never has. I think that's an example of his lack of empathy. He can't even relate to another mammal, much less other human beings.
Yeah, and also, I mean, this goes all the way back to Chester A. Arthur was the last time a president that didn't have a pet whatsoever. But since then, even they would have, like, at least fish presidents afterwards. But, throughout all that time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there is something very, very strange about this guy, about Donald Trump. And I think that a lot of that strangeness goes back to his parents basically abandoning him. I mean, you know, they're dumping him in the military school. And then during the summers when he's home from school, his mother's over in Scotland playing debutante. And without Donald or any of the kids, his older brother drinking himself to death in his 50s. I mean, this is serious dysfunction. Michael, thanks for the call. We'll be back with more of your calls on Anything Goes Friday.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Coming up on 16 minutes past the hour here in the Tom Hartman Program, helping you win the water cooler wars. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Jeanette in Druryville, Virginia. Hey, Jeanette, what's on your mind today?
Well, I'm in Florida, but...
Oh, Florida.
I want to talk, yes.
Is it Druryville, Florida?
I'm in Haines City, Florida.
Okay. Our database must be mangled. So, anyhow, what's up, Jeanette?
Well, anyway, I watched... At 9 o'clock, I watched Fox last night.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch that?
No, I don't have the ability to watch Fox any longer.
Oh, my goodness. It was the guy on Fox with Trump all evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad you didn't see it. So anyway, it's all about the war on drugs, and they're saying all the drugs are coming across the border and everything. And
right.
Well, we know different that it's coming in through the ports and through the planes
yeah.
and through the people.
Well, there was an interesting...
So anyway...
Oh, go ahead, Jeanette.
What?
Sorry. I was going to say there was an interesting article in one of the science magazines today. I read this morning before we went on the air, where they said that within a decade, there are going to be consumer-level drones that are capable of lifting a human being. Right now, you can buy a drone from Amazon that's capable of lifting a 5 or 10 pound package. But within 10 years, they figure that there will be drones that are capable of lifting a person 30 or 40 feet and then depositing them 40, 50 feet away. In other words, pick somebody up, lift them over Trump's wall, and drop them back down on the other side. And what are you going to do then? It's a 30-foot wall, a 35-foot ladder. I mean, this is crazy. Anyhow, back to you, Jeanette.
Anyway, the whole thing is that's all. The war on drugs is a big money maker for the world's worst people.
Sure. Sure.
And the anti-people. But Big Pharma is killing Middle America. And the opioid crisis has nothing to do with the Mexicans or illegals down at the border. That's all a different deal.
No, actually, most of the fentanyl coming into this country is coming from China through the U.S. mail.
Right, right, right. I just wanted to say that. I watched that last night, and they're showing that just big as day on there.
Yeah. Well, you have my sympathy, Jeanette. Thanks for putting yourself through that so you could report to us on it. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Susie in Vaughan, Washington. Hey, Susie, what's on your mind today?
Hey, bless your heart. My brother saw that, said it was the worst movie he'd ever watched. He said it was just horrifying. Anyhow, yeah, I have a bumper sticker that I think the rubes might be able to understand, and it is the silhouette of the Earth, how it's been used 100 times for different things, and it says, when she goes, we go, ...... 2040, and then underneath in little letters that those of us that have a brain read, when micro goes, macro follows.
Yeah, well said.
Booyah.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. No, Mother Earth is in big trouble right now, Susie.
It's huge. It's gross.
What's astonishing to me is so many people don't understand that we're connected to the environment.
And that's why I say, and I'm in a prime area to do it, and I do it. I work for like thousands of people. I see them every day. I'm a cashier, blah, blah, blah. And when somebody says things anymore, and this is what I say to all of us out there, if they say black, you say, sorry, white, and I don't mean that, black and white.
No, I get what you mean. Yeah.
Tell people you're wrong.
Yeah, yeah, talk back. Stand up.
I use that. I no longer will pander. I can't.
That's great. That's great. Good on you, Susie. Thanks a lot for the call, and thanks for listening to KBCS. We'll be right back. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Welcome back to Anything Goes Friday here on the Tom Hartman Program. Fred in Los Angeles. Hey, Fred, what's up?
Yeah, hi. Happy New Year, first of all.
Thank you. Back at you, Fred. What's up? What's on your mind?
All right. Well, first of all, here's the joke. If rich men can't get into heaven, I think they're going to end up in Limbaugh.
In Limbaugh?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Here's what it seems to me might be the most... obvious scenario with regards to Trump and impeachment.
Yeah.
You read the book several times where the Koch brothers reversed themselves about interfering in the markets when it started to affect them. Well,
sure.
That's typical Republican, but...
Yeah, no, they're all in favor of their fossil fuel subsidies. They love that stuff.
Now, we also know that Trump is very vindictive. Would you honestly think that he would try? He would give any bank a bailout that would not bail him out?
Yeah, good point.
So if that's the case, I think that you would have the Trump brothers and all their minions start to think about impeachment.
You mean the Koch brothers?
They don't want to bail out the banks to save their markets.
Yeah, you mean the Koch brothers, I assume, Fred?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, will the billionaire oligarchs step up and to all this? It's a good question, and I don't know the answer, but it may be. I mean, we thought when they went for criminal justice reform that they were starting to back away from Trump. And then it turns out that the whole criminal justice reform thing was kind of a scam designed to make it harder to prosecute white-collar criminals, and it helped out about 2,500 drug dealers.
Because it's not like you can start any more wars. There are 8 wars going on now.
Yeah.
It's the worst of the death at this point.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And many of those have states of emergency or executive actions associated with them that give Trump more power. Fred, thank you for the call. Horace in High Point, North Carolina. Hey, Horace, what's on your mind today?
How you doing, Tom?
Good.
What I wanted to know, if you know it, when Donald Trump's wife first came to this country, she had a visa where she worked, and it was illegal to work on that particular visa. Now, subsequently, she got a mom and dad here, and they became citizens, and he had some type of model agency or something where he were bringing people over. And the visas that they were working on, it was illegal. Did you know anything about that?
Yeah, I believe Melania Naus, I believe was her name, K-N-A-U-S-S. When she came over here, she came over on a tourist visa, and she was working as a model, and that was illegal. And, they cleaned that up eventually. And then her parents, of course, came over, and they just became citizens a few months ago, maybe a year ago. And that was on the family reunification thing that Trump has been talking about. He calls it chain migration. In Trump's world, it's how dare brown people and black people bring their relatives over here. That you're expanding their population in the United States. Melania's parents? Yes, that's just fine. They're nice white people. I mean, I really think that that's what's going on, Horace.
Right. Okay. Now, can I ask you one other question quickly?
Sure.
Mitch McConnell, Cotton, there's another one. I forgot this guy that was running up to the White House saying that he knew that there was some kind of criminal activity going on, and they finally found out what he was doing. Now, why aren't the Democrats proceeding with great, great people to take them out of there?
How so? You mean electorally? The Democrats are.
Come up. Okay, but they don't target Mitch McConnell. They got to target him and get him out of there.
Mitch McConnell's up for re-election. You know, in another 22 months, Mitch McConnell is standing for election. If he chooses to run again, now he's 70, he'll be 78 years old. He's 76 right now. He'll be 78 years old when that happens. And my personal opinion, particularly given that his wife is the heir to a multi-million, maybe even billion-dollar shipping fortune, I'm guessing that Mitch McConnell's probably going to retire. But who knows? I mean, it's hard to predict.
Right.
But, he's one of those 22 senators who are up for re-election, and it's going to get dicey for them. Horace, thanks for the call. Michael in Bronx, New York. Hey, Michael, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good.
You know, I was thinking about this, and I come across a couple of ideas that the only way this government will reopen is if, A, there is a federal court order directing that, because we're all reminding each other that there was a unanimous deal prior to Christmas to keep this government running again, but the likes of Sean Hannity's, Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter's opened up their big mouth and triggered Trump to do a 180 and refuse to sign the bill, and now we have the government shutdown. And the thing is that if Mitch McConnell doesn't want to bring the votes forth, you can have 99% of these Republicans in the Senate joining forces with the House to reopen the government, and then Mitch McConnell's like, nope, we ain't bringing it forth because it doesn't have Trump's war.
Well, that's pretty much what's going on right now.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is that why can't the Senate, the senators, and even House of Representatives submit sworn affidavits saying we vote to reopen the government, but Mitch McConnell doesn't want to do that. And then the other aspect.
Well, hang on just a second, Michael. Let me just real quickly answer that because we just have 30 seconds, so we're hitting a break here. I don't believe that there is any power that the federal judiciary has to compel the Senate to do their work. I don't see the basis for a lawsuit.
There was just a thought that crossed my mind. I mean, something's got to give.
No, it's a great idea, Michael. And I think that there's probably going to be a lot of lawsuits that come out of this, but they're going to be more, you know, specific harms that were the consequence of the president, you know, playing politics with people's lives. But I just don't see where, and I don't recall any example in history, and I just finished writing a book about the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court ever directed Congress to do anything. They're co-equal branches. Michael, thank you for the call.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
28 minutes past the hour, occupying the media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. It's Tom Hartman here with you. Anything Goes Friday. Back with your calls right after this. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, and it's Anything Goes Friday. Phil in Sun City, Arizona. Hey, Phil, what's on your mind today?
Bill.
Oh, hi, Bill, Tom. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
What's up?
Tom, I want to talk to you about hemp, specifically hempcrete, a building material. Are you aware that an 18-inch wide hempcrete block has a insulation, heating and cooling R value of 41?
Wow. That's substantial. No, I wasn't aware of that. But you know, how does that compare with other vegetable matter? I mean, is hemp unique in this, or would that be true of straw as well? I know people were building houses out of straw bales for a while.
No, it's straw and hempcrete. When you add lime to it, it tends to petrify. It turns into stone over time, and it absorbs and lets go of water readily.
Right.
You could heat your house passively and cool it passively. In the most northern and southern climes, you could heat it and cool it with minimal energy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we started refitting our homes with hempcrete, something that grows? Could you imagine growing your home?
Yeah, there's three parts to completely changing the way that we use energy in the United States. The first is to stop all the subsidies to fossil fuels. It's about $300 billion a year that we are transferring to the Koch brothers, you know, Koch Industries and ExxonMobil and BP and all these other companies, the coal companies, the natural gas companies, the frackers, the, you know, all this stuff. So stop those. The second is to change the systems that we have for the use of energy, and that's what you're speaking to, Bill. You know, in other words, hyper-insulate our houses and those kinds of things, so it takes less energy, so we're using less energy. Move our,
with something, you know, readily available.
Right, exactly. Make our cars more fuel efficient. The thing that Trump just blew up, Obama's fuel efficiency standards. And then the third is to start actually nurturing these alternative energy sources. Take that $300 billion. If we took that $300 billion a year in subsidies that we're giving to the fossil fuel industry right now, and instead they gave that to wind, solar, biomass, tidal energy, things like that. Yeah, I think that within 10 years, we could completely change the energy profile of the United States. Germany did it in about 6 years with residential electricity. And,
the beauty of the hemp plant is that the byproducts that come with it, but, you know, you take out one part of the plant for the hempcrete, and you still have the oil, you still have the fiber. You still have, the plant just keeps on giving.
Yeah, no, the hemp is an extraordinarily efficient converter of sunlight into biomass. Phil, thanks for the call. Well said. Jim in Los Angeles. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind today?
Professor Hartman, still the smartest man in all media.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we must not focus so much on Trump, but Trump Republicans. All Republicans are now Trump Republicans. He's the leader of the Republican Party.
Trumplicans?
Trump Republicans, okay. Yes. He's the leader of the Republican Party, so since they won't stand up against him, they must be branded by him, and we all know he's a criminal. But you have the smartest listeners, and one who was heartfelt in saying the reason Pelosi should capitulate on this border wall is because the Emergency Powers Act, is that what it's called, Tom?
I'm not sure where you're going with it, Jim.
To stop Trump from calling the Emergency Powers Act to build his wall, capitulate and give him $2.5 billion, give him another billion, negotiate and try to stop him from taking ungodly powers that could, you know, it could destroy this country. It could destroy the Constitution if he does that. It's a scary thing, Tom. And
I agree, Jim, on the one hand. On the other hand, this is what FDR was accused of doing back with the New Deal. The Republicans were saying, oh, you're doing things that are unconstitutional. You know, there's nothing in the Constitution that says a Social Security should happen. It's a violation of the Constitution to do that. Unemployment insurance is unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court actually backed up these Republicans. I mean, they struck down long-term unemployment back in 1935. They struck down the Industrial Recovery Act, the IRO, or IRA, rather, which included long-term unemployment. It included union protections. It included a form of support for health care. I mean, there was a bunch of stuff that was in there, and the Supreme Court took it down. So I'm not sure that it's the end of the Republic,
Tom, if
the next president who comes along is a Democrat and they say, you know, okay, Trump successfully declared a state of emergency and took money to build the wall. We have a real emergency with the climate. We're going to declare that an emergency. We have a real emergency with 40,000 Americans, I guess it's 24,000 now, dying from lack of health care. So we're gonna you know, cover everybody in the country with Medicare. That's a real emergency.
I know, but please let me finish. If Trump can claim a victory and Nancy goes in and renegotiates only on the reason that Trump doesn't get to call an Emergency Powers Act, if that's the only reason, please do it. Please go ahead and give him one more billion, $2.6 billion for his wall.
See, I disagree, Jim. I think that if you give Donald Trump what he wants, particularly when he's asking in a way that is obviously just show, this is a stunt. This was the speech that he gave Tuesday night was the kickoff of his 2020 campaign. And he was clear about that. He's running ads about it. He's sending out emails about it. I've read some of them here on the air. No, Jim, I'm telling you, this is it. Jim, I got to move along, but thank you for the call. Bill in Warrenton, Missouri. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Tom, what I'm worried about with this, if he gets away with calling the border a national emergency, next election, he'll find an emergency to postpone the election.
It's not inconceivable, Bill. It's not inconceivable. And the fact that he wants to put William Barr in as Attorney General, who back when George Herbert Walker Bush was president and the special counsel at that time, Lawrence Walsh, as I recall, was his name. He had just subpoenaed President Bush's diaries from the Iran-Contra affair, and they were going to prosecute George Herbert Walker Bush, who was sitting president in the White House. And his attorney general, William Barr, said, okay, here's how you stop the special counsel investigation. Pardon everyone that he's investigating. And that's exactly what Bush did. He pardoned Caspar Weinberger and he pardoned five other people, bang, just like that. It would be the same thing as if Trump pardoned Michael Cohen, Paul Manafort, Papadopoulos, you know, the whole crew, right? The six or eight of them that are facing serious charges. If he just pardoned all of them, that guy who did that for George H.W. Bush and got him out of... And that guy, Lawrence Walsh, the prosecutor, said on one of the Sunday shows, I think it was Face the Nation, he said that the president of the United States, George Herbert Walker Bush, was engaged in a cover-up. He was covering up the whole Iran-Contra thing because he was involved in it.
Absolutely.
That guy is the guy that Trump is going to have installed as attorney general next week.
Yeah, that's not good either. One other thing, if I can say, if he does manage to still be president for the next election, I think he's going to dump Pence and make Nikki Haley his vice presidential nominee. with the agreement that if they win, when she runs, she names Donald Trump Jr. as her vice president.
Well, I don't know about that last part, but I would say with the agreement that when she runs, the first thing she'll do if she becomes president is to pardon him and his family and everybody else. I think that's an entirely viable possibility, Bill.
Because I think he's going to think he needs a woman to let him have a chance.
And a woman of color at that. And particularly if Kamala Harris is the Democratic candidate, for president or vice president, it's going to be, that's the kind of thing that would be very, very strategic. Bill, thanks for the call. George in Chicago. Hey, George, what's on your mind?
Well, let me just say initially, I couldn't be in more disagreement with the earlier caller, Jim. There's no point in having power if you're not going to use it. And the Democrats want a substantial victory in the House and have the majority of the people behind them to back them up. So a line should be drawn in the sand for this mentally ill clown that's occupying the White House and say, that's it, no more.
Well, it's already been drawn. It's been drawn by both Pelosi and Schumer. The question is, how long can they hang on? And I suspect it's a long time. And then the question becomes, how long can, 800,000 government employees hang on? And that's not such a long time. But back to you, George.
Well, I hope everybody who's in uniform understands how much contempt he has for them, because the members of the Coast Guard, who are the front line of our defense against terrorism, are being told, well, they were being told until it was pulled off the website, that they should have rummage sales, yard sales, and garage sales to tide them over until they get paid again.
I remember.
But anyway, what I called about was in 2017, this is an example of who the Republicans are. They comfort the billionaires and afflict the rest of us. They passed a law, it was called the 2017 Farm Act, that stripped the Farm Labor Organizing Committee, which is the union for the farm workers, of their ability to negotiate and to work for fair pay and safe working conditions. Now, this is an outrage to begin with. These are the people that harvest the food that we all eat, and they're very poorly paid to begin with. And the Southern Poverty Law Center went into court, and after a certain amount of legal battling, was able to get an injunction to suspend the act and keep it from going into effect until it works its way through the federal courts, which, as far as I know, there still hasn't been a final decision.
Mm-hmm.
But This is the difference between the Republicans and the rest of us. It's like you've told us that Trump does not care about people who didn't vote for him, doesn't care how much pain he causes, doesn't care if he bankrupts people, doesn't care if people die. But a lot of these lawmakers in the Republican North Carolina legislature were owners of large corporate farms themselves, passing a new law that benefited them personally. I mean, that is beyond outrageous to use the legislature to put money in your pocket.
Yeah.
And they just go ahead and do it.
I agree.
And you have an organization like the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is not wealthy and not well-funded, but they know how to go into court and fight effectively. But with the way they're packing the courts, how much longer will it be that the courts will be available as a resort to these kind of cases?
Yeah, this is getting very, very problematic. And Trump has gotten through, 28 judges now? After, Barack Obama in the last 2 years got 3, as I recall, very, very few. George, spot on. Thanks a lot for the call. We'll be back. It's 46 and a half minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Right back with more of your calls on Anything Goes Friday. Stick around. And welcome back. Sean in North Platte, Nebraska. Hey, Sean, what's on your mind? Thanks for watching us on YouTube. What's up?
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Hey, I guess I was thinking, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that Reaganomics, and I think we're getting it on steroids with Trump, is like the damage they did to public education and has... I guess I was hearing a lot of, I was hearing a lot of rant this weekend about people not pulling over for a funeral, not pulling over for a funeral or not, my mind is totally.
That's okay.
Not,
I know what you mean. So trickle down. You know, part of while you're trying to catch that thought, let me just say real quickly, Reaganomics has a couple of pieces to it. One piece is the trickle down theory, the horses and sparrows economics, that the more you feed the rich people, the more they will pass that little bit of that money on to everybody else, which has been completely discredited. It was discredited in the 1880s when they rolled it out. It was discredited in the 1980s again. Another part of it is doing away with the protections that working people have. That is specifically the right to unionize. And then the third part of it is deregulating the marketplace more broadly so that people don't have more general protections like unemployment insurance, health and safety rules, welfare rules, things like that. And that over time, more and more benefits will go away, so employees become more and more frightened, and basically you turn the entire country from a nation of workers. Two-thirds of people in the workforce in 1980 when Reagan came into office had the equivalent of a good union job, to right now where it's about 12% of the workforce.
You'll see it get even worse under Trump, too.
Yep, absolutely.
You'll see it get 10 times worse under Trump, and it started back during the Reagan era.
Yeah.
Where, people don't, they take it out of public. They take our, like they're taking our civics out of public education because of Reaganomics. And so people aren't learning what they're supposed to be learning. And they don't have as much. And like this, Betsy DeVos and the Trump administration that wants to go after public education.
And this is a twofer for them, Sean, because when Betsy DeVos succeeds in privatizing schools like she did in large parts of Michigan, number one, you've got some oligarch like, Betsy DeVos who can make a whole lot of money on that, and a bunch of smaller businesses that can make money on it. And number two, you end up with stupider students. You dumb down the public.
That's where I was going.
And they're much more likely to go along with the Republican BS if they've been dumbed down. They don't know, they don't even know the history of FDR, for example.
That was my whole point, was they're trying to dumb down our students. And you hear conservatives, that people who sound like conservatives, talk about manners and the right way of bringing up our kids. And yet I think Reaganomics, and Trump's like it on steroids, where kids and younger people and even some adults don't have manners. Well, it's because of the attack on our public education system.
Yeah.
From Reaganomics that has done it.
Yeah, spot on, Sean. We used to have a really good, well-functioning school system. Now, not so much. I mean, in wealthy neighborhoods, because it's still funded by the property tax, which was put in there in the beginning to keep poor communities having crappy schools and rich communities having good schools. We'll be back with more Anything Goes Friday in just a moment. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, and Joe in Pompano Beach, Florida. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Oh, not much. I listen to your show, and I'm not your typical person that calls in that much. I called in another time. Anyway, long story short, I listen to you and other people call in. I listen to these spin lawyers, whether you like Trump or don't like Trump. And I always thought, you're tried in a court of law, not in public the way these people are. I don't know if the president's going to be charged or convicted of anything. Looking at people talking about pardoning him, like you've had a little couple of callers ago. I just don't understand how, if I was an attorney or I needed an attorney, I want one that's going to defend me completely, not tell me you don't have a chance, Joe, but let's do this. I mean, you get a lot of people in there. The already presumption of innocence is gone right now in our country. It seems like everybody's guilty and they didn't do anything, at least been convicted or charged.
Joe, I don't understand the point you're trying to make. It sounds like you're.
The point is,
go ahead.
What? Okay, it's a simple point. Aren't we innocent until proven guilty for anything we do wrong?
Not in the political world.
Got a problem.
Not in politics. In politics, you've got to prove your chops. In court, of course, you're innocent until proven guilty, and that's why you've got a prosecutor who is compiling evidence of Trump's guilt, and he has already indicted 34 people.
We don't know if he's guilty or not. We don't know guilt.
No, we don't. You're right.
He's guilty.
We do know. I think with a relatively high level of certainty that Trump actually did pay off two women that he was having affairs with, that he did it during just before the election, and he did it because he knew if it got into the election, he would not be in the White House right now. If that is true, and I think that, Joe, even you as a Trump supporter will agree with me that in probably 99% true, if that is true, that means that Trump took the White House by fraud. And by crime. It's a crime to do that. To
we don't know that.
Well,
I don't know that.
You know,
I don't know that. You don't know it either.
What I know is that I've heard audio tape of Donald Trump directing Michael Cohen to make the payments. We have heard from both the women that they have received the payments. We have heard from the lawyer for Michael Cohen that that Michael Cohen was the guy who made the payments. That Michael Cohen in 3 weeks is going to testify before Congress to this effect. I mean, that's just one of many things. We know that Trump is continuing to take money from the Saudis laundered through his hotels, for example, in violation of the Constitution and in violation of the law. We know that the lease that Trump signed with the city of Washington, D.C. and the federal government, which owns the old post office building, which is now the Trump International Hotel, that lease explicitly says that no elected official may hold a lease with the federal government for federal property like that. And Trump continues to do that. He's in violation of his lease. He's in violation of the Emoluments Clause. These are not speculative, Joe. These are things that we know. And I guarantee you, if Barack Obama had done even 1% of just those three things I mentioned, he would have been impeached.
Okay. Well, how about our healthcare system that my girlfriend had? She was paying $254 a month, never had an illness. She's 56 years old, right? And it went up to $800-some a month because of the Obama health care. She couldn't keep her doctor. All the conversations that you heard and I heard during the whole campaign for health care. Now, that to me is something wrong there as well.
Okay? Yeah, I agree. Obama, I agree. We need to fix our health care system. Let's go to a single-payer system. It'll save us $1 trillion a year. Joe, I got to move along here. James in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hey, James, what's on your mind today?
Happy New Year, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. Happy New Year to you, James. What's on your mind?
Good. Well, I have a question for you, but I just want to make a couple comments real quick because I know we're almost out of time. I think they ought to take that Trump tape where he says that Schumer is not responsible for shutting down the government and replay it about every hour on all the major channels. Point about civility, it requires empathy, and empathy is learned behavior, and I don't want to get into that anymore. But what I really called you about is, when did the U.S. allow non-U.S. citizens to own U.S. airwaves, i.e. Rupert Murdoch? I give it to you, and I'll hang.
Well, he's a U.S. citizen now, A, and B, Fox News is not over the air. It's on cable. But I get your point, and I think that there needs to be some real changes in our media landscape. I have articles up on Alternet, Truthout, and Alternet, Truth Dig, and Common Dreams right now, specifically about the media, the four reasons why the media won't tell you the truth about what's going on. You may find it useful, James. James, thanks a lot for the call. Thank you all for being with us today. It's been a fascinating day. I hope you have a wonderful and peaceful weekend. Try to disconnect yourself a little, huh? It's like a healthy thing. And in the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us, and that includes you. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you on Monday.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.